space. And we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines to the bottom. Smack in the middle of the line. My vidayai. What does it mean? You put it to the corner and it's enough. What does the word and it's enough mean? Meaning, is there anything else to do? The Torah says, V'gisha p'nei ha-mizbeach. Right? V'gisha p'nei Hashem p'nei ha-mizbeach. You're doing it. It makes it sound vidayai as if there could be an extra step. But we're cutting it out. You don't have to do the extra step. It's not necessary. What is that extra step that you don't have to do? So, the Gemara Maravashi Itzrich. I have to say that. Because in the Pasuk it says you should bring the mincha close to the Mizbeach. It is unclear. Does it mean the keli with the mincha? You touch the keli to the Mizbeach? Or do you have to actually take the mincha out of the keli and touch the mincha to the mizbeach? So the Mishnah Brice is telling you that you touch the keli to the mizbeach, that's enough. Not necessary to do any more. In fact, not brought down that it's a chatchila to do any more. We're interpreting the gisha not on the mincha itself, but on the mincha in the keli. That's what we're saying. In fact, the Gemara Ve'emachinami, who says that? Shakamashalot, Ve'emachinami, who says that's what it means? The Gemara Makrov Ve'kriva Lakayan, the Gisha Mizveach. The Pasuk juxtaposes bringing it close to the Kayan, and he brings it to the Mizveach. Ma'akrov Ve'etzakayan Bekli, when you give it to the Kayan, you give it to the Keli. That's what we learned. Mekachim Beklisharis, you put it in the Klisharis and you give it to the Kayan. As Hagasha eats the Mizbeach B'Kli, the Hagasha to the Mizbeach is also done B'Kli. Rashi. So Rashi, my Vidayai. My Tasek, Rashi's four lines at the bottom. My Tasek Adaita the Mubayi Trey. Why would I think you need more that the Bryce has to tell me Vidayai? Mincha Guvo B'Lei HaKli Shiba. Oh, Yikov HaKli. Now Rashi's trying to tell me, how do I touch the Mincha to the Mizbeach? I said take it out, but take it out is problematic because you can't take the whole thing out. It's stuck to the kli. It's there. So he said you would bend the keli, shenigeya sirlus the mizbeach. You would put the keli on an angle that the sirlus would touch the mizbeach.
Okay.
What?
This is not for the keli.
But what would you have, Amina? So, right, you would bend the keli that the sirlus would touch it. Come on, so you don't have to. Dr. Gemara Weiter, we are going through the Seder HaMincha. And by the way, this Bryce is the Seder HaMincha. All, when we ever talk about the order of Mincha, we look to this Bryce on how a Mincha is done, all the steps. Right? We had it. You bring it from a metal kalim or gold and silver. You put it in a klisharis. Becomes Kaddish. You add oil, frankincense. Take it to the Kayan. Kayan does Agasha. After Agasha, he moves the Levina to one side, takes the Kemitza from the other side. All those steps. These are the steps of every mincha that is brought. So the next step was...
This
Brisa is it.
I understand, but I'm saying this Brisa is written other places also?
I don't think so.
Wow.
I don't think so. I think this is it. Now, the Mishnah Menachos discusses how to do it, but I don't think it quotes this Brisa in its order the way it does it here. Again, it's been a long time since I learned Menachos, but I don't remember it being quoted like it is here. This is the bride that is always referred to as the order of the Mincha. Right. Umasalagas Levinasa L'Tarechad. Right, you gave it to the Kayan, you did Agasha, right, and he moves the Levina to one side. That's the next step. Fact the Gemara, why? We don't want it to be included with the kaimetz. Like the Mishnah says in Menachos, kamatz v'ala b'yadei tzrar by gargar melech a kurt levayna puzzle. If your kmitza includes either a little pebble or a gargar is a one little thing of salt. What is it? What am I looking
Grain.
For? What?
Green.
A quart levina, or a little bit of a chunk of levina. Whatever it is, it cuts down on the kmitza. It's called the kmitza chasar. Kmitza is a very difficult avoda. You have to get the exact amount, no less, no more, than your kmitza. How you do kmitza is a whole sugya. But the way you do kmitza, it has to fill up the exact kaimetz. adding another item into it is taking space that should have been filled by flour and oil, and therefore it's pasul because it's a kaimetz chaser. Rashi, pasul mishum da have a kaimetz chaser.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Rabbi, why would this this exact procedure be the subject of a brisa and not a mishnah?
These are all discussed in Mishnahs and Menachas, but in the putting it together in order, I think this is the only place it's done. I mean, let me try to explain. The Mishnah and Menachas goes through every step how it's done, but gets involved in every step.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't say, okay, let's set up what's going to be done here, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It talks about each one of them, but dissects it, takes it apart. You would have to learn all the Mishnayos and Menachos and then put it together on your own, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Well, then, on the other hand, why wouldn't this Braisa have been mentioned under the Mishnah of Menachos? Why is it here in Sota?
I don't know. That I can't answer you.
Okay.
Yes, Abraham.
I'm just saying, is Masalik as Lodasa, this is... will help with yesterday's problem. No, if you saw.
Well, yesterday's problem, there was no problem yesterday. For those who had a problem yesterday, I didn't. But for those who had a problem yesterday, I mentioned that the Levain is not granules, it's chunks. But you can move it to the side. Now, those who had a problem are not solved, because they'll tell you it's impossible to even massage the Levain up. That was their problem.
But doesn't the thing, it doesn't dissolve at all?
No.
Okay, that's it.
Yes.
Although, as I said yesterday, it does depend on how much the levain is ground.
It's not. It's not ground at all.
That's what I was going to say. That from this, we can say that the levain as used was used in chunks or actually granules.
That's what I said yesterday. I said they're chunks, not granules. Zog di Gemara weiter. Now you want to take the kmitza where there's more oil. So he says, "Minalon dechsev misalta umishamna." By regular mincha, silas is the wheat flour, and it's oil. And by omer it says migirsa umishamna, which is the fine, better flour of the barley. It's the same as silas. Silas and girsa are just different. What they come from, wheat or barley. So therefore. Both places it talks about Mishamna. So that tells us, take the oily part. There is no Rashi on this. The nice Navatai Klisharis, then you put the Kaimetz in the Klisharis, Umekachib Klisharis, and you sanctify it again in Klisharis. Frek the Gemara Lamali. What are you doing this Kiddush again? Hakachachad Azimna. You already did the Kedusha one time. You put it into the Klisharis the first time, Lekachib Klisharis. That's what we said. So what's the necessity of putting it into a second keli? The Gemara Midi Dehavi Adam. We are, the avodas of the mincha are analogous to the avodas of the blood of a carbon. Just like, Dam, Avagav de Kaddish de Sakim Betzavri Behema. Even though Rashi learns, you shechted it with a klisharis. And therefore, as you shechted it, the blood becomes kaddish. By the fact that the animal came in contact with a klisharis. And that klisharis gives the blood a certain kedusha. Still, hadim ekadosh lebe klisharis. You take a second klisharis, you catch the blood in. So you have two klisharises dealing with the blood. One that removes the blood from the animal, and one that catches the blood that's removed from the animal. So by mincha, there's two avaydas. One, to sanctify the mincha, and two, to sanctify the kaimetz, like the Kabbalah Sadab. Now, Rashi Sheet, as we will see in a second, Zokt Rashi Sakin have a klisharis, the Tanya. A knife is a klisharis, it has kedusha to it. Then, Kala Kelim Shasam Maisha, Mishichasam Mekachasam, Mikam Ve'elach Avedasam Mecham Chasam. All Kelim that Maisha made, he anointed, right? And well, from then and on, when they had a new keli, they didn't use the same knives the Moshe Rabbeinu used. They didn't use the same bowls the Moshe Rabbeinu used. So they made it, the way they made it kaddish is by using it. The usage of it created the Kedusha the first time you used it. So when you took the knife and used it for treat of an animal, it became a Kli Sharis and did its job at the same time, simultaneously.
Even without intent.
Doesn't say that. I can't answer
No.
No, we said the item becomes Kaddish without intent. We didn't say it becomes a Kli Sharis without intent. This you're taking it to the next step.
What?
Yesterday we talked about when you put the flour in the Kli Sharis, you don't have to have intent or do have to have intent. It's a Machlokes and Mitzvah. But we said that it doesn't mean here that necessarily you have to have intent. But that's an existing Kli Sharis that you're putting an item into. Here we're talking about how did you make the Kli Sharis? How did the knife become a Kli Sharis?
How did yesterday's case become a
Kli Sharis? It was a Kli Sharis before. You took an existing bowl in the Beis HaMikdash and you put a mincha into it. It was a Kli Sharis before. You're not making the Kli Sharis yesterday.
We're talking about the knife for the first time.
Exactly. So Rashi's saying it becomes a Kli Sharis the first time you use it, simultaneously becomes a Kli Sharis and it's Mekadesh the blood. Again, but Moshe made the Kalim. He did everything with Shem and Amishra. What?
I had it to this beginning question.
Correct.
So why wasn't it available to people in the basement?
It was available, but there was no mitzvah to do it. You're right. It never was used up, never missed a beat. It's always there, same 12 hugim, but they did not use it for Kli Sharis only one time in history. You're right. You're 100% right that it was there, but they didn't use it. There was no tzivu to use it.
The Kohen, even if it's the first time he has this knife, you mean to tell me he can't make the knife Kli Sharis?
That's exactly what it says over here. To Gemara Yuma Yud Beis Amud Beis. I'm just reading Rashi, the things that you said.
We never can make something...
I'll repeat it myself again. That's what Rashi said.
I understand that, but I'm saying, so all the Kalim, how about a bowl? How about a bowl? How did that become a Kli Sharis?
When you used it the first time to catch blood, or to put a mincha into it. No difference. I'm thinking you're having trouble accepting the concept. It's a Gemara. I can't help you.
Yesterday's Gemara was talking about how to make the mincha kaddish.
That's what I was trying to tell you.
And
exactly.
I'm saying, how do you get the bowl kaddish?
That's exactly what Rashi is saying. I'm not saying. Rashi is saying, Kol ha-kelim shasem v'ayishim v'shichasem v'kadshasem v'kav v'eluch avoydasan milchan chasem. So Rashi says, I'm not creating anything new here. Meaning Rashi. Now, there are Rishonim that argue on Rashi. And they say that Shechita does not have to be done by Kli Sharis. Rashi doesn't prove it. Rashi just says it was a Kli Sharis. And then he tells you how it became a Kli Sharis. Rashi doesn't bring a Gemara that says that the Sakan has to be a Kli Sharis. Rashi says that's not in this Gemara. The Gemara says, just like by blood, the Sakan made it Kaddish. So Rashi says, how did the Sakan make it Kaddish? Because the Sakan is a Kli Sharis. Rashi's interpreting this Gemara. Then he says, and how did something become a Kli Sharis? So he tells me how it became a Kli Sharis. He doesn't prove that the Sakan is a Kli Sharis. He sees that in this Gemara. The Gemara says it. The words, Avagav the Kaddish de Sakan b'tzavir behema. The Sakin sanctifies it. So how does the Sakin sanctify it? So Rashi, because the Sakin is a Kli Sharis. Simple reading of the Gemara, Rashi interprets it. There are Rishonim that want to learn that the Gemara doesn't mean that the Sakin, I know the Gemara says Sakin, the Gemara doesn't mean that the Sakin is a Kli Sharis. The knife does not have to be a Kli Sharis. It's the Shechita that makes the Dam Kaddish. When the knife cuts, even though it's not a Kli Sharis, there are Rishayim that want to say that the Kedusha of the Dam comes from the cutting, not necessarily from the Kli Sharis. Now, the logic behind that, and here I'm not to pick sides in Rishayim, is because the knife doesn't touch all the blood that comes out. It cuts, and then the blood comes out. Now, inevitably, some of the blood will touch the knife, but the knife is very quick. You shecht, and then the blood comes out afterwards. So how is the knife mikadosh the kli sharis? So Rashi will learn, because the knife does the cutting, which lets the blood come out, so the knife makes all the blood a kedusha. Other Rishonim learn, the Gemara doesn't mean the knife does it. It means the knife does the act of shechita, and the act of shechita makes the dam kaddish. Again, I'm just mentioning that the Rishonim to learn not like Rashi. The Nafkamina is, what if I don't want to make the knife a klishara? I want to take a knife, new knife, but I'm not interested in making it a klishara. But I want to use it for the shechita. Rashi would say, no. You can only make it if you want to make a klishara. You can't check with a non-klishara. Now it happens simultaneous. The other Rishonim will say, there's nothing wrong with shechting with a non-klishara. It doesn't have to be in a clean. The knife is not mekadesh it by it touching the blood. It's the act of shechita. So the knife doesn't have to be a klisharis. Again, it's Rabbeinu Ephraim shechita. Most Rishonim learn like Rashi. The simple reading of the Gemara is that the sakin makes it kaddish. So that's why Rashi translated the way he did. I don't pick sides in Rishonim. I just thought it was interesting to mention that there's another opinion out there.
But does it have to have blood? Question. Can he use, let's say, a chalif to do hefshit? Hefshit, he wants to take the skin off. Does that make it klisharis for the first time? Does it have to be shechitas
damnalpin? I don't think hefshit is an avaita that has to be done. It can be done with chulun things. I don't think it needs a klisharis.
Okay, so now I'm going to go back to my favorite question there about the Mizrakei Kesef that they brought. They were molik soilis. They brought them full of solus. Solus is not a mizrak. You don't use a mizrak for solus, do you?
Yes, you do. Yeah, absolutely.
Mizrak? Mizrak is to catch blood.
One second. Mizrak is a bowl. The same.
No,
bowl,
there's karais and there's mizrakais. Isn't there a kara and a...
There's two different kinds of bowls.
Okay. I mean, mizrak is like a long, deeper... A longer, like a funnel-shaped mizrak. I mean, it's a different shape.
You can decide whatever they are. Arshko will help you with that. I can't tell you what the difference between a kara and a mizrak is. I don't know. I'm sure the Rambam explains it. I don't know. It's a lack of my knowledge. Arshko probably knows, or maybe they don't know and they make it up. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that both can be used for oil or flour or for blood.
Okay.
Yes, doctor.
Guys,
no, the Ari Kaplan is
a pretty good
thing
out there. Can
a Zari
use
the
clichars
for...
I
don't think it's an answer.
Okay.
The answer only would be if it makes the item kaddish, if you hold Shlomi Das.
The Zari can check.
Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Don't you get my advice? By the way, a Zari cannot do Kmitza. Even though Kmitza is analogous to Shechita, yes.
Old and stuff that's being used with the Neira, the bath, whatever, and I donated it, when does it have the same Kedusha as the Klisharis?
I lost you. But since when did you donate gold to the Mizbeach, to the Neira?
I'm saying to all the things for the, wherever it's going for on the base of Mikdash, the...
Benika bias is not klisharis.
Even the... Musa Shekel...
Lent for Karbonis.
Plus, it's also used for the...
Something was used for klisharis, yes.
No, for the... Isn't there certain
Adonim? This was in the Mishkan. That's one time in history. They didn't have Adonim in the base of Mikdash.
What I'm stressing is... A person cannot make it anything klishar, is that correct?
Correct. Well, he can. He can bring a knife and use it to shecht the carbon, and it becomes a klishar, according to Rashi. So he did make a klishar. But not through donation. You can donate it to be used for klishar, but it doesn't become a klishar by your donation. It becomes a klishar through use. That's what Rashi tells us. And Rashi didn't make it up either. It's a Gemara Yuma. Dr. Gemara Vaiter. Rashi Vaiter. Are the Mekadish like Klee? She Mekablu the Klee Shara. The Sib, I yell some back on right. My Shrabbeinu put the blood in basins. Zag Tikamai Vaiter. We go through the order of the Mincha. Umalaki Tislavinasa. And you pick up the frankincense. The nice Nagabav. And you put it on top of your Kaimetz. The Sib, it says, when you makter it, it says, it's called Halvayna Sharala Mincha. Put all the Levina, which is on top of the Mincha, so your Kaimeth is in a Keli, and you add the Levina to that Keli after the Kmitza. So the Kmitza is pure flour and oil, and the Levina is added to the top of it.
The one which you move to the side.
The Levina, which you move to the side, you take it out of that Keli now, add it to the Keli that has the Kaimeth. Rashi? I'm sorry? Well, when you picked up the kaimet, you put it into new keli. We had that, the second keli. Kachibikli. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's called Avayna. Gabi Akhtarak Siv. The Makhtar kaimet to Avayna Kiyadadi, he offers it on the Mizbeach together. Umaleu Makshiroi Beklisharis. Now, the Gemara reads it as saying, you burn it with a klisharis. That means you put the keli on the fire, frek the Gemara Beklisharis Makhtarle. What, you're makter it in a klisharis? You put the keli on the fire? Dr. Gemara, ema maleu b'klisharis l'haktiroi. You bring it up on the mizbeach in the klisharis to burn it. Not that you burn it in the klisharis. You bring it up in the klisharis, then you take it out of the klisharis, and you're going to put it on the fire. Rashi, how are you going to see it in the makteris al-kadaitech v'legaris otu b'klisharis makteloi? We're not gairis that. V'alchigakashaloi. Makhtiris al-Kadaitach, Rashi learns the question a little different than I said. He says, V'adayin le'mocho, you didn't salt it yet. V'sefek tani u'mocho v'nais nagabi ishim. Al-Mahashtu de'makhtirlei. It says burn it, then it says salt it. Well, after you burn it, you're not going to salt it. That's what Rashi learns the question is. Not like I learned, that like some other Mepharshim learned, that the question is, are you burning it with the Kli? Rashi learns the question is, why are we saying burn it now? You're not burning it now. The answer is you're bringing it up to ultimately burn it, but not that you're burning it right now. Makhtar. Haktara means to put it on the fire. The word hikter means to put it on the fire.
Rabbi, if you're learning that it's you're taking it out of the kli, do you still have to take it out? Would he still have to take it out of the kli with the levana on top, or does he dump the whole thing from the kli?
I think he dumps it. It doesn't say, but I think he dumps it. I have no proof, but that's how I understood it.
It would seem to me it would be difficult to keep the Levana on top without removing it, and you have this
Again, I have no proof, but I think he dumps it. I have no proof. Yes, my Shiv.
The Klisharis is not actually put on the Mizbeach. It doesn't tell us how they came to that position. In other words, plus says one thing, and we explain it differently. Is there any?
It doesn't say in the pasuk that you put the klisharis on. It says v'hikti akayinas askaresa. It says burn the kaimets and the levina.
They're just stopping us from coming to wrong decisions.
Again, the Brisa used the word umakiroi b'klisharis.
That's Brisa. Yeah.
We're going through the Brisa now. And taking each part of the Brice and explaining it. By the time you finish, you'll be an authority on how to bring a mincha. Umochai v'nais nagabe ishim. Baruch Hashem. Umochai v'nais nagabe ishim. You salt it. You put it on the fire. V'chsev v'chokar b'minchascha b'melech timlach. Because salt is an obligation on every single carbon. Rashi, I didn't finish the Rashi before. Leim makir lakir b'shoyes klum makleir b'klisharis lakir lager shemachelo. Bring it up with the klisharis to be makterit after you salt it. Okay, now we move on. The kaimut is on the mizbeach. The kahanim eat the leftovers, right? So it says, karav hakaimut. I'm sorry. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I can't hear you.
Did not go on the mizbeach that way. It went on the mizbeach from a klisharis.
You put the kaimet into a klisharis. After you did the Kemitza, you did something called Kiddush Kli, which is you put the Kaimet into Kli Sharet. You add the Levina to that Kli Sharet.
And then it goes back.
That's what it says. And that's what you bring to the Mizbeach. Meaning, the Mincha is an Isarin of flour, minimum. Isarin is a tenth of an Eifa. It's the volume of 43.2 eggs. That's an Isarin. That's the amount of man everybody got. That's the amount a person brings for a Mincha. I'm just giving an example of where we use it. So it's the volume of 43.2 eggs of flour. From that 43.2 eggs of flour that are placed in a Kli Sharet, he does a Kemitza, which is a fistful, not even a whole fistful. That is placed into a second Keli, where the frankincense is added, and that Keli is the one that goes on top of the Mizbeach and emptied out on the fire.
After being salted.
Because all Kabbalahs require salt. Which means every time they brought the fat of a shlomim or the meat of an ayla on the top of the Mizbeach, they salted that as well. But I think it goes in all Kabbalahs had salt. What? Deeper meaning? I'm sure there is. You have to go to a chumash here and figure it out. I don't know. I mean, I don't remember, I should say, and I didn't look it up. It has to do, before somebody else pipes up with the medrash, that when the water complained to the Rebbeinu Shlomo when it was created, why am I down here? And the Mayim O'Yainim are up there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, you're going to produce salt, which is going to go on the Mizbeach. Okay? That makes people happy. I'm wonderful. Yes.
When we talk about
Bris Melech,
isn't that explained that
it's internal
salt?
Again, this is Bris Melech.
Right.
Maybe because it's salt, I guess. Could be. I know. Again, now everybody can speculate in their own shop. The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised this to the water at the time of creation. Yes.
That's why on Shabbos we dip the challah and the salt.
I have no idea. No, it has nothing to do with that.
What I'm asking is,
so halachically speaking, you have no chiyuv to dip challah and salt in Marazah. There's no chiyuv in halacha today, in Shulchan Aruch. There's no chiyuv to put salt on your challah. There's a chiyuv to have salt on the table. That's because the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset at people that sit around the table and do nothing, and salt, having salt on the table, reminds HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Bris Melech, and therefore he doesn't get angry, whatever that means. That's a Medrash. Brought in halacha under Ramah. This is not a Yitzchak Margaretan thing, it's a Ramah. But you don't have to dip salt in this thing. Kabbalistically, we like to dip the challah into salt. Because challah is chesed, melech is din, and we want melech to chesed to be over din. I don't know what I'm talking about, but that's what they say. And that's why three times, whatever the reason is. Halachically speaking, you have no obligation to dip anything into salt. The salt and halacha is only to improve the taste. If your challah is tasty, there's no reason to do it. If you have a non-tasty bread, then there's a chiyuv to make it tasty for the hamitz.
So when people dip the challah, they don't have salt, they dip it into something else.
Again, that's just to make it tastier.
That's the only reason.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember the conversation I had which I said to him, yeah, does not need to have salt with it. And he said back to me that bread made without salt versus matzah doesn't need to have bread salt. I don't know if he was speaking homiletically or halachically, I can't
remember. In halacha it says that bread that tastes good does not need salt.
That's
all this is my Shulchan Aruch. I can't help it. You know what I mean? That's in the Shulchan Aruch. Take all your additions to him. This is what says about
this is not my idea.
Again, I'm just saying, yes.
I operated on.
In fact, on Pesach night, some people bedavka don't put salt on the matzah because they want to taste matzah without any additives. So it shouldn't be the mitzvah, should be the mitzvah.
You don't put salt on matzah?
They don't.
On Pesach? You said some people don't.
Some people do dip it into salt on Pesach night, but brought halacha not to. Or better not to. Right. In fact, on Sukkot night, there are some people that won't dip their challah into salt or honey by first Zayas of Sukkah, because Chamishasa from Pesach. They only eat water challah, they all kinds of different things. Right. Some people eat matzah, so good, right? But not again now. Later. Karlachaymetz Shiran Nechalim. Now, at what point, it sounds in the Mishnah that you can't eat it until the chaymetz is consumed. Karav. Menalon. How do I know that you need to first be makruv the chaymetz before the kahanim can eat it? Maybe the kahanim can eat it right after kmitza. The rest of the milcha is already done. You did the kmitza, the rest of the milcha is on the side. Nothing's going to happen to it. How do I know you have to wait after you makruv the chaymetz in order to eat the milcha? Zogta gemara d'chsiv. Hikdra chaydes haskarasa. He's makruv the haskarasa refers to the part that's going to remember him upstairs in a good way, which means the chaymetz. Afterwards, so first you have to do the akrava, the order of the pasuk. Then whatever is left over can be eaten by Aaron and his children. Karav akaymetz, to what degree? Mark the islay, because mark the islay. This is a machloikas in mesechtas menachas. Hakaymetz may mesay matish rai bachila. At what point in the consumption of the kaymetz on the fire are you allowed to start eating the leftovers? As soon as the fire catches onto it, what does Arsko use for tishlay?
Yeah, it catches onto it.
That's right. That. And Rabbi Yechon Amar, it's complete, most of it is already consumed. Rashi. That's the machlokes in all menachas and mesechtas menachas. Rashi. Karav HaKayim is the mark of the islay. At what point is it craving lahat shirayim? Interesting that Rashi switches the order of the Gemara, and I don't know why. The Gemara brings Rabbi Chanina first, Rabbi Yechon second, and Rashi brings, according to Rabbi Yechon, one way, Rabbi Chanina another way. I don't know why he switched the order. I don't know. Dr. Gemara Weiter. Urishoim ka'alim litin l'taychoi, yayin shem l'dvash. They can mix it whatever they want to. Wine, oil, honey. That's come out of my time, huh? Why in the world are we, where we see that we're allowed to? Amar Kra l'mashcha. The Torah says, l'cha nesatim l'mashcha. Kahanim, the matanis kahun are given, l'mashcha is a lashon of greatness. That means it's royalty. Eating matanis kahun is done in a royal fashion. Kings don't eat dry flour and oil or flour and oil baked. They mix in ingredients that make it into a more chush of a kind of food. And therefore, kederach shamalochim oichlim. Rashi, l'cha nesatim l'mashcha, Dr. Rashi gabi matnes kohunaksiv, l'cha nesatim l'mashcha. Yes.
Yeah, but to Hashem, no. But to bas v'dam, yes.
Exactly, you're 100% right. That's exactly what it says. In fact, by Hashem it says, "Kichol sar v'chol devash loisak tiru
menuz
Hashem." You're not allowed to. But the kahanim should eat it in a royal way. We paskin this way by matanos kahuna, that by pinyan aben the kohen sits. Royalty doesn't get up for anything. So they receive the pinyan aben, the kohen sits to accept it in a royal fashion.
I have done
a pinyin event 20
years.
You haven't done a pinyin event on the client side?
Yeah.
I did a pinyin event only one time.
No.
Yeah, my own son. Why would I do a pinyin event on somebody else's son? I had a son of a car, I did a pinyin event. See, you're a client. You are the one that's redeeming the kid. They're redeeming from. I'm the Yisrael. I only had one b'char, so I redeemed that b'char. Did I attend the Pidgin Aben? Depends what they served. Answer me question.
always wondered why we sit down.
The guy sit down because of the mashal.
Which other
market should
do that?
The last okay, here we go. Okay, right. Thank you,
Rabbi. Rabbi, I'm sorry. Does this mean that the Kohanim can do anything they want with it as long as it's consumed and as long as just the right people are eating it? In other words, can they make it a part of another dish?
Yes. The only thing they can't do is make it chametz. They have to keep it, which is the next line. They cannot let the dough rise. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
it's
so obviously they can't give it to their animals. They can't.
No, absolutely not. They can't give it to their wives. Okay. It's kachet kedushim. Can only be eaten by male kohanim in the azara. Cannot be taken out of the azara. Kachet kedushim. Kachet kedushim are restricted to male kohanim in the azara. But the chalim, the sim, and akloim, the zikri kubuna, the chol machol yed b'lai, whatever the Mishnah says. Mincha is kachet kedushim. There are two levels of kabbalas. Kachet Kedushim, which has to be eaten in the Azara, Kachem Kalam, which can be eaten in Yerushalayim. Kachet Kedushim is only eaten by male Kohanim, Kachem Kalam can be eaten by Yisraelim as well, but the part that goes to the Kayin can be shared with their wives and children and daughters.
Thank
you. Don't take my advice, sir. Now, this is an interesting read of Pesukim. The Pasuk says, why say Afi Chametz? Do not bake the milk of chametz. Chelkam nasati aizel chametz ishai. I gave them the share from my carbon. Hashem says, I am giving the kahanim a share of my carbon. The milk is my carbon. Hashem says, I'm sharing it with the kahanim. They can have it. It doesn't say, let's say, avi chametz seems to be going on the mincha. Don't let the mincha, the part that goes on the mitzvayach, become chametz before you put it on. When you bake the mincha, they used to bake the mincha. It wasn't raw flour. There are different kinds of minchas. Not learning mesechtes minchas. There are the raw mincha. Then there's the mincha called mafitaner, macheshes, machvas, different minchas that were processed before the kmitza. Then there was, so it says they can't be baked chametz. How about the leftovers? The pasuk never says it on that. So we juxtapose. Loisei avi chametz chalkam nasati. We say loisei avi chametz chalkam. Even though the chalkam is the other half of the pasuk, there's a comma here. But we juxtapose chametz and chalkam and walk away saying that the chametz can't, even the chalkam can't be made into chametz. Zok to Gemara, Vein Amar Rav Shimon Leilos Lakish, Atzil Chalkam Leisav Chametz. Zok to Rashi. The shina le high chalkum, the kronami, the fun of aloisayfa. It's going back on aloisayfa chametz, and it's also going chalkum. It's also going back on then, not only on chalkum nasati, but aloisayfa chametz chalkum. It's like the Torah wrote chalkum twice.
Where's the esnasta there?
By chalkum. No chametz. Aloisayfa chametz.
Yeah,
and that's the drasha. That's why without the drasha, I would know this. So Shimon is saying that the juxtaposition of the Pesukim across the Asnachta tells me this.
We might have started a little bit earlier.
I'm starting right now.
Right now?
Yeah.
We have many in the room, but...
That's not my department. Everybody's running away from Purim. You know what I mean? Some people are Magdim. These are Magdim, and they already left for Purim already. But anyway, everybody should have a wonderful day.